Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we talk about the big debate that we moderated for the LA mayor's race and the LA County sheriff's race with my co-moderator, Erica D. Smith. But we begin with the midterms, and we talk with Christy Smith, Democrat, hoping that the third time's the charm in her race against Mike Garcia. But let's start with a story setting up this contentious midterm campaign and California's central role in it. Whether the U.S. House is led by Nancy Pelosi of San Francisco or Kevin McCarthy of Bakersfield could ultimately come down to California voters. Democrats' best pickup opportunity may be in District 27 in L.A. County. In 2020, Democrat Christy Smith, a former assemblywoman, lost to Republican congressman and former fighter pilot Mike Garcia. She lost by 333 votes, the closest race in the country. There's a rematch now underway, but their newly drawn district is a lot more Democratic than 2 years ago. It's likely a toss-up in California's 22nd district in the Central Valley. Republican Congressman David Valadao, a farmer by trade who voted to impeach Donald Trump after January 6th, is running against Democratic Assemblyman Rudy Salas. There's no incumbent in the 13th district in the Central Valley.
Adam Gray gets it done.
Democratic Assemblyman Adam Gray.
I'm John DeWardy. I'm a farmer and businessman.
Is facing off against Republican farmer John DeWardy. California's 31st district now includes Palm Springs, proclaimed to be the gayest city in America. And that could be problematic for Ken Calvert, the Republican congressman for nearly three decades.
So let's kick out extreme politicians like Ken Calvert, who spread the big lies.
Democrat Will Rollins is an openly gay, former national security and counterterrorism prosecutor who once worked for Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Will Rollins will be with us next week. Christy Smith is with us right now. Christy Smith, welcome back to The Issue Is. Good to see you.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Let's start with sort of the key question for voters. What's the biggest difference between you and your opponent?
Well, there are a number, but the big key differences are, of course, his position on reproductive freedom and the really extreme votes he's taken, along with votes that he's taken against the interests of our district. Everything from voting no on the bipartisan infrastructure bill to the Build Back Better elements to the American Rescue Plan. Garcia has just voted against our district time and time again.
And of course, this abortion issue is more interesting and more prominent after Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, recently said if Republicans get control of the House, there will be a vote on a nationwide abortion ban. For you, this is especially personal.
Absolutely. This is incredibly personal. I'm a woman who survived a miscarriage and two high-risk pregnancies. So under the GOP plan, my miscarriage, my spontaneous abortion is what they're called, could have been criminalized. That would have entirely changed the trajectory of my life. And with my first pregnancy that was so high risk, my daughter had to be delivered to save my own life. If my physicians had had to think twice about when my daughter was delivered or whether or not they could even do it, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you today. So it's personal for me as a mother of two young adult women. It's personal to me as someone who has lived through and had to make that really important decision. And after over 50 years of that protection for women across the country to be afraid, and rightfully they should, as you point out, because Lindsey Graham very clearly said this is their national plan. They make no bones about it. We're in a really dire circumstance, and I think that's really compelling people to step up in a midterm where otherwise they might have stayed home.
Of course, most Republicans don't want to talk much about abortion. They do want to talk about inflation, though, and they say that Democratic spending on a lot of these things, including the rescue plan, put too much money into the economy, and as a result of that, we have inflation, which is hurting everybody, that if the Democrats get in there, it's going to be even more spending, which is going to make things costlier for everybody. What say you to that?
That spending was essential. I mean, you know, I was in the California legislature at the time that we started the first rounds of COVID spending, and we were keeping people on payrolls with small local businesses where businesses would have gone under. We were making sure that shots got in arms across the country so we could get back to a place where you and I are sitting here without a mask even talking to each other, right? So those investments were critical. The unfortunate, sad downside of a supercharged economy, which ours is right now, unemployment at an all-time low, sometimes that is inflation. And so where the inflationary pressures can be addressed, you know, by monetary policy, the Fed is pumping the brakes a little bit this week. The president has assured and has continued to move in the direction of making sure supply chains reopen and that we're getting supply lines moving to bring those costs down. So, you know, we get it. Yes, inflation is hard on families, but the Democrats are delivering. We're doing everything everything that we can to bring it into it as soon as we can. But again, another big difference between me and my opponent, Republicans in Congress had an opportunity to take a vote against gas price gouging, and they voted no. So you can't, on the one hand, decry inflation, and then on the other hand, you know, do nothing about it.
Although they would say here in the state of California, Republicans wanted to suspend the gas tax, which California Democrats did not go along with. Let's also talk about the issue of debating. Recently, Congressman Mike Garcia went on to a Breitbart podcast and talked about Democrats who refused to debate. Here's what he said.
What the far left fears is good conservatives having a forum to explain their policies and why these policies are correct, and they fear these debates because they do recognize that's where they're proven wrong in a very public way.
So there he's calling out Democrats who refuse to debate. We invited both of you on our show at the exact same time, sent the text message seconds apart to each of your teams, inviting you to do a debate here. You had the closest congressional race in the whole country last year, so I thought it would be really interesting to see the two of you talk. You said yes, you're here.
Right.
He said no, he'd be willing to do a one-on-one interview but not debate you after calling out Democrats for refusing to debate. What do you make of that?
I think when your positions are indefensible, you're reluctant to be out in public to try to defend them. You know, when you are so extreme on women's reproductive freedom, when you are extreme on voting rights and what the GOP is trying to do with, you know, giving greater power to states to overturn federal election results with fake electors, when you were someone who stood with insurrectionists on January 6th, I guess that's why you'd be inclined not to come out and try to defend those positions.
Have you guys agreed to any debates?
No, and I've had offers from other outlets. We've had regional folks who would like to see something done in the district, and he's asking for separate appearances.
Okay. Well, the offer stands. If he wants to come back here, we would love it, and we look forward to hearing his perspective as well. But I do think that a free flow of ideas is valuable, as we showed this week for the L.A. mayor's race and L.A. sheriff's race, which we'll talk about in a second. But first, we want to have some fun.
Okay.
We play a game on this show called Personal Issue. This is where we put 30 seconds up on the clock and get to know you a little bit better.
Sure.
Rapid fire, first thing that comes to mind, all right?
Okay.
So we start with favorite book.
Oh, my goodness. To Kill a Mockingbird.
What's your favorite alcoholic drink?
Stella.
Who's your favorite president of all time?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one. Teddy Roosevelt.
Who's your favorite actor or actress?
Too many to pick in L.A.
Alienate somebody.
Right.
What's your favorite TV show?
Bachelorette.
Ooh, what's the best thing about California?
Everything.
Who's your favorite athlete of all time?
Oh, gosh, Derek Fisher from the Lakers.
And who's your role model?
My mom.
I'm interested in a couple things. Why Derek Fisher and why The Bachelorette?
That was like, when he was on the team is when I really became a solid fan, and my maiden name is Fisher, and so in our family we would say, oh, there's our cousin, he's doing great.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just his intensity. He just was such an intense, like, team-spirited player.
Yeah, and you liked to veg and watch The Bachelorette,
yeah,
too, and have a little bit of good time.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you being here. Up next, we're going to talk about the mayor and sheriff's debate with Erica D. Smith, who also is related to you, I think. No, not related to you, but there you go.
Our thanks to Christy Smith. Now let's talk about the big debates from this week.
Those are the words of the prosecutor, the federal prosecutor. So are you saying the prosecutors are lying?
No, I'm saying you are.
No.
A heated moment between businessman Rick Caruso and Congresswoman Karen Bass during this week's L.A. mayoral debate, which was broadcast on Fox 11 Los Angeles. They were fighting over this big scandal involving USC. You see right there, my co-moderator for this event was Erica D. Smith of the L.A. Times. She joins me now here in studio. Erica, good to see you. Great job this week.
Thanks. Thanks for being our fearless leader.
Okay. let's talk about your big takeaway from this big debate night.
You know, it was interesting to see Caruso kind of being defensive and kind of on the, not necessarily on the ropes, but he clearly has some ground to make up. And, you know, Karen Bass, Congresswoman Bass, was very feeling very confident. Even in those moments like the ones we just saw where she's being a little contentious, I think that she kind of had the upper hand. I think she knew it. So that was kind of my big takeaway from the mayor's race.
Last week here on The Issue is we were the first people to have an interview with Karen Bass after her guns were stolen from her house. At the time, some on the right were saying that this was like a conspiracy. Congressman or Councilman Joe Buscaino suggested maybe she should be investigated. She didn't like that. And she brought that up directly to Rick Caruso's face. Here's some of that.
And Rick, the reason why I'm disappointed is because you remember when the Grove was burglarized, I called you to find out how you were. And instead, you call on me to prove one thing or another, and then the councilman calls on me to be investigated?
What I said about your burglary is that I feel sorry for anybody, including you, for that to happen to. It's a terrible personal sense of evasion.
It was.
And I said that publicly. And I sympathize with you.
After a few days.
No. It was actually the day I found out about it. But I would also say this. There are two guns on the street now. And we have terrible gun violence in the city of Los Angeles. And that's a shame. And I know that pains you. But knowing how those are stored, it's a simple thing to answer.
I think that she kind of went on the attack a little bit. I mean, she, you know, in the way that Congresswoman Bass does, where she used her, you know, kind of her vulnerability as a woman, and not to say that it wasn't how she was feeling, but to talk about how she felt kind of attacked by her male opponent and some others in the city, and looking at her as more of, kind of painting her more as a perpetrator of the crime or somehow involved in it than just as a victim. And so I thought that that was a pretty powerful moment. I mean, I could hear from behind me while moderating people, some murmurs of, you know, agreement and assent, which I thought was particularly interesting.
Meanwhile, he got some attacks on her as well. Mm-hmm. Bass complained about Caruso donating tens of millions to his own campaign. I asked her if that makes him more independent, that he doesn't have a bunch of unions and other people all donating to him. Here's some of what she said.
Well, he doesn't need to take money from PACs because he's already spent $53 million on this race so far. $40 million in the primary, and actually, no, it's $60 million, and $20 million in the last couple of weeks to my four. And if you look at the corruption in City Hall, it's always been around developers.
Yeah, name one time I've been named.
And he's never built a single unit of affordable housing.
Karen, name one time that I have been named in any scandal at all. In my career, in my life. Thank you.
Yeah, that smile says a lot. She also didn't have a great answer when I asked her, he donated to you. You accepted his money. If he was so bad, then why'd you take his money?
No, she didn't have a lot of good responses to that. And also there was the, you know, the aspect of, you know, the question I asked her about, you know, are you going to be more of the same as a Democrat? I mean, there was that back and forth about political affiliation and, you know, where does she, is the Democratic, is she separating herself from the Democratic failures in that? But yeah, I mean, he got some good hits in.
So what do you think is her biggest challenge going forward?
I think it's just to kind of maintain momentum and kind of not really screw up, for lack of a better term. I mean, I think she's kind of on a roll. I think that she's got a lot of voters on her side, as we saw during the primary. And I think it's just continuing to make inroads.
Well, one of the big challenges, of course, is this Democratic issue, because this city is 60% Democratic. Now, you only need to get 50% to win. So if she gets all the Democrats to vote for her, she wins. She's got the Democratic Party behind her. She's got the president, the vice president, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, every sort of big-time Democrat in the state, with the exception of Governor Newsom so far. And Caruso realizes that as well. And he talked about the Democratic issue and his changing in registration. Remember, he only became a Democrat 3 weeks before he got into this race. Here's this moment.
I liked the Democratic Party 10 years ago, and I like the Democratic Party of today, because the Democratic Party of today is more diverse, diverse politically and diverse in every single way.
Doesn't seem to be accepting me.
Well, but you know, and you know, no, that's not funny. He's correct. No, he is correct.
I couldn't believe when he said that. What was that about? I mean, in some ways, he is correct.
Yes, he is absolutely correct. It was definitely an amusing moment. I was surprised that he said it. But, you know, it's truth. I mean, I think that a lot of people do not believe that he really is a Democrat or that he embodies Democratic values. And I think that's going to be one of his big challenges going forward.
I mean, from a numbers game perspective, unless he can convince moderates and Democrats, at least enough of them, that he's an acceptable choice, you can't become the mayor of Los Angeles. There just aren't enough Republicans here.
No, not at all. And it's also the fact that this race has taken on a lot of national implications, that we have these bigger issues that were brought up, some of them last night, but abortion being one of them.
Now, speaking of those national implications, that's also in play in some of these other races, including the sheriff's race in LA County. We also moderated a debate there. We'll talk about that and some of the bigger themes of crime, homelessness, and abortion. More with Erica Smith when we come back.
When the Board of Supervisors recruits eight candidates to run against me, they did it for one reason only, because they want a puppet, and we have the person right here as that puppet.
Here's something that the sheriff needs to learn. When you're working with people, that doesn't mean you're a puppet. That means you're working with people to collaborate at the end of the day to serve our community, the members of our county, in the best way possible.
L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, retired Long Beach Police Chief Robert Luna throwing insults and accusations at each other. That was during this week's sheriff's debate, which I co-moderated with Erica D. Smith of the L.A. Times. That there kind of gets to the heart of this race. It's about, let's work with the establishment, or let's throw a giant middle finger to the establishment.
Yeah, in that debate, it was really clear what you were getting. You're getting, you know, our current sheriff, who has, you know, clashed publicly with pretty much every county department and official in said department, and insisted on, you know, going and kind of going his own way and doing what he wants. And we also have retired Chief Robert Luna, who wants to really work with these agencies, and that's the way he's kind of suggesting a return to normal prior to the current sheriff.
And Alex Villanueva has really become a national figure. He's on Fox News Channel all the time. It's interesting, he ran 4 years ago as the Democratic Party's choice, and now he is so beloved by so many Republicans around the country. And one of the things he was doing this year was he was leading the effort to get George Gascon, the LA County District Attorney, recalled. Barely missed, isn't happening. So one of the questions you asked is, what do you do now? How do you work with him if he's going to be in that job for another 2 years? Here's what they said.
But when you're district attorney and your first day in office, you come down like Moses in the mountains with a tablet and say, this is my special orders, everyone shall follow. That is not a collaborative model.
We have an obligation to work with people even we don't like. I don't know if I walk into your office, any of you sitting in the audience or watching this on TV, and you just heard me for a week call you names, demean you, say you're going to walk down with two tablets from a mountain, I don't think you're going to be very welcoming to me and want to work with me.
So if you think about how the landscape of all this has changed, if the Gascon recall was on the ballot, that's something we would be talking about nonstop.
Absolutely.
At the beginning of the year, crime, homelessness, the biggest issues, inflation, a huge issue. Gas prices have started to go down. Inflation has sort of eased up as an issue. Abortion is now such a big issue around the country. President Biden's poll numbers have ticked up a little bit. The landscape has changed, and that impacts the midterms in a big way.
Oh, big way. It's who's going to come out to vote, right? If Gascon had been on the ballot, I think the voter mix would have probably been more favorable to the current sheriff. But I think that the way that, as you said, nationally, who's excited to go to the polls? It's people who would favor, you know, Chief Luna, I think, over the sheriff.
As always, it comes down to turnout. Erica, great working with you this week.
You too.
And one of the things about our debate night was the date of it was on the 21st night of September, which is a night I'll always remember.
Always.
I'm sure you'll always remember, too.
Our thanks to Erica D. Smith and Christy Smith, and to you, even if your name is not Smith, for listening this week. We'll be back next week with more. Thanks for listening to The Issue Is.